welcome to TechA. I'm your host, John Buehler, and today my guest is Kevin Chuka. Kevin is a very longtime friend. We've been friends for roughly 30 years, I guess, which is kind of ridiculous when I think about it. I met Kevin in high school, and we bonded over our computers. We've been geeks for a very long time, and we would exchange software and all kinds of stuff like that. We were constantly upgrading our PCs at the time, and I was the first to make the leap to the Mac platform, and he followed suit shortly thereafter after seeing what I was experiencing. And but we're both geeks. We dabble on all platforms, so we're platform agnostic. But today we're going to talk about the recent release by Apple earlier this week to developers of the iOS 7 beta. And it's right now it's just for iPhone. And through our day job, we actually have corporate developer accounts, and so we're actually evaluating the changes for our company. And that's the reason why we have it. And so we're going to talk about what we've found so far after having it for, I think, roughly 2.5, maybe 3 days. And enjoy. So I'm chatting with my coworker and longtime friend, Kevin Chuka, about our recent installations of iOS 7, the beta from Apple that was released earlier this week. And what's your first impression, Kev?
My first impressions are it was quite a bit visually a striking difference, like especially some of the icons. And they, if anything, I know we've jokingly said it's the birth child of, what is it, Palm Pre, Windows 8, and iPhone, you know, like if they had a baby, you know.
And don't forget Android.
Oh, sorry, and Android. Yeah, I missed that one. But it's, you know, from a visual standpoint, it is a lot different than the previous edition. Opinions? I've been using it for about, I guess, 2.5 days or whatever now, 3 days. And it's kind of growing on me. Some things I like, some things I don't like.
Well, let's start on what you like.
Let me see. I'm just pulling my phone out here. I do like some of the, I like that, the effect. What is that called?
It's parallax.
Parallax effect. That is definitely kind of a cool little bonus thing that maybe you wouldn't even notice if.
Well, I mean, it just speaks to Apple's subtlety stuff, right? I don't know if it's a feature per se, as opposed to just a nice visual cue. It is, I have noticed a few glitches with it though. Like, one of the things that I've noticed is I have in my car, I have my phone mounted, in the center console. And when it wakes up from getting an email or a notification of any kind, it's like it remembers where the last position of the parallax was. And then when it wakes up, it sort of jumps to the new orientation of the phone. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's using the accelerometer or some type of gyroscope to determine how much movement to do. So what ends up happening is you get this weird kind of jerkiness effect, at least right now. I mean, I'm sure they'll smooth it out with the beta, but
yeah, I think I can know exactly what you're saying. Kind of does a wiggle almost.
Exactly.
Like you can see a visual.
Yeah. And I'm not even touching it, and I'm standing, or the car's not even moving. So it's not anything like that, but it's just like the last state it was when it went to sleep versus the state it's waking up. There's a difference. And it's just an instant jump or a wiggle, like you said. Yeah.
I think what you're talking before about what are the aspects that I say it like. I like the, it does feel like a whole new device. And I think, you know, because it's got a new skin, but I know it's more than a skin. I like the, well, it's kind of a Palm Pre card sorting. Like, you know, you can preview that. That's kind of slick because you could, you know, I can shut down apps or have a look back at, oh, hey, I was doing that on Facebook and I know exactly what I was doing before I go into it, which is something you never had before.
I mean, I guess you sort of had it to a degree with their pseudo multitasking functions, which is really what this is like a screenshot version of that, or not unlike what you get with an OS X desktop with Exposé. But it definitely is a nice feature, and I've used it a number of times already. The thing I like too is they've removed limitations on a few things, like unlimited folders now. It's like,
oh yeah, that's huge.
I mean, I've got, I don't know how many camera apps in my photography folders, and I have multiple photography folders, and as it loses favor with me, it tends to drift down my home screen, but at least now I can put everything in one folder. My only The thing I don't like about it is when you do go into one of those folders, you only see 9 at a time.
Other thing, I don't know, I'm just checking here, because I also have a lot of apps like you do. I don't know if page 2, is there a little dot underneath to indicate that there's a second level?
There is, yeah.
There is, okay. Yeah. I couldn't remember because... but with just speaking to the folders, and like, I think I had last time I checked over 500 apps on my phone. I've got the big kahuna 64 gig, which a lot of the times because I have the room, I don't delete things. But a couple things that I'd like them for them to do is to create smart folders, which is, I think this is an obvious thing.
Yeah.
To say, tell me the ones I haven't used in a year, is yeah. I'll just instantly delete those.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing yeah. where... I mean, that's a little bit of a niche, but I don't think it is. I think some of the iOS, like the iPhone fanboys who've had them for years and years and years, you have your favorite apps. And,
well, it makes sense, too, yeah. to use like the smart folder or smart albums like they have mm-hmm. on iTunes and also iPhoto and that type of thing. I mean, it just gives you more sorting abilities and to determine, well, when was the last time I actually used that particular app?
Or, you know, like you have your, like I have folders called daily or things you know you use all the time.
Yeah.
If you had, say, a folder or even a page that had your most frequently used things and that they're there already.
Yeah, I mean, I have frequent, which is stuff that I go to all the time,
yeah.
but it's not uber frequent like Twitter and Facebook and that type of thing, which have its own spot on the home screen.
I mean, I guess this is to just speak against that a little bit is that you do have, you know, your cards that you can flip back to, but that's more recent than it is necessarily, yeah. I haven't used it yet today or, yeah. you know, that kind of thing.
Well, and... within those folders, it would also be nice to have some other folder or sorting options. And I can see some of these folders are going to be really deep for me. I mean, I haven't even actually tried. I'm going to try right now. I can't. You can't do the little spotlight search within a folder.
Well, and the other thing, I think the folders with now they've got the multi-page folders. I think that they could stretch the UI a little bit longer. That's an obvious thing.
Yeah. Although maybe that's to address the other phones that aren't as tall as the iPhone 5, for example.
Oh, you were absolutely right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
But that's where they could have a subtle tweak, a difference. Or also a possible somewhere when you dive in where there's a count, like subtlety at the bottom to say 15 or over here beside the word
500.
Games.
Yeah.
Or but in that folder so you know how many, because I don't even know how many subfolders you can go.
Yeah.
Can you have like 30 apps within a folder?
As far as I understand, it's unlimited, but I may be wrong. Yeah. And I'm going to test it. I've been slowly migrating my photography apps. I've got three times 9 so far, but I know I have at least 2 more folders full of camera related apps to move still.
So just talking about more about features. One thing that I'm fine with, it's kind of the same difference is like the spotlight searching, swiping down.
Yeah.
I found myself when I'm swiping down, I swipe down, but if I go from the top of above the glass, that I'm getting the notification screen.
Yeah.
Versus that, where I've done that a few times.
Yeah. And that's a bit counterintuitive because the swipe gestures from the bezel have always sort of been, you know, one direction, one action. But now you sort of have to like press in the middle of the screen and pull down to get that. It's a bit strange.
But you know what the thing is too, is as we're testing, I'm just testing it on my phone right now, swiping left to right doesn't do anything anymore, right?
No.
So it's not like it's been reused unless they're reserving that for something for the future, which that would be very Apple. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or they've tested against it and found that that's something that they could use. I mean, the other obvious thing, which is a nice feature to have, is this new control center. We're talking about swiping specifically.
Yeah.
Swiping from the bottom and then having easy access to a lot of maybe commonly used things that you might use. Although, I know you and I tried the AirDrop thing and we haven't really got it to work yet, so I don't know.
Which may not be enabled, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the quick access to a flashlight, a timer, a calculator, and the camera.
The lock.
It'd be nice to be able to customize that, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, like, and then maybe this is the spot where, you know, because that bottom row where the flashlight and that might be your favorites because they could be commonly used apps that you use.
Yeah.
But again, I guess it's the whole notion of a control center.
Yeah.
One thing that I find, okay, from the home screen, when it was a little bit the slide to unlock, because if you click on it, you have these little tiny arrows, which is lending me to slide up. And I did that a few times. And even a friend.
Well, and that's very consistent with the Android experience.
But having the arrows there, I don't think the arrows should be in this page. You know what I mean? Like, because they don't do anything on this page. On the homepage, like if you swipe, oh, actually, you're right. It does go to.
It does. It gives you control center from the lock screen.
Yeah.
But it's this slide to unlock, and the only indication of direction is that highlighting effect that floats behind the words slide to unlock.
But I definitely have done the swipe up a few times where yep. It didn't work
looks like it's part of it. Right. Yeah.
Whereas, we're layering on extra shortcuts, but then, it's more like because we're advanced users, it's a pro and a con where, we know it's that way. But if I gave this to say my mom who does have an iPhone, would she know that? I could see her swiping up. And then getting, what's this other thing? This control center. I don't know. I don't want that. I wanted to open the phone, right? I think there could be like what they had before, like where it has the word slide. I know they're doing this real minimalist kind of style right now everywhere, is where they need to put, other than the text glowing, they need to put some kind of a background to make it pop so it's still consistent because it's not apparent in this.
Well, and the thing on the lock screen that I guess it's good and bad, is you have the notion of a wallpaper for your lock screen and a wallpaper for your home screen.
Yeah.
When in the new iOS 7, that wallpaper is extremely blurred to the point of almost not even recognizing it. It just picks up a couple key color highlights in the passcode entry screen if you have a passcode enabled. I get why they did that. It's so that the notifications are more prominent, but it's to the point like, well, the whole point of having customized wallpaper, whether it's a photo of your kid or whatever on that lock screen is so it's a nice reminder, a nice thing you see all the time. Being extremely blurred out is just a little too much.
But that's only when you get a notification though, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I almost always have a notification. Right now on my screen, I've got the Starbucks that's nearby is there for my passbook.
Because of your passbook.
Yeah. So I almost always have some kind of notification.
So you always have a blurry home screen.
I always have a blurry home screen.
And just lock screen. Speaking, the lock screen used to have it clear before it wasn't that.
It was clear, but and then the notification had a sort of a window around it. So it was almost like a drop shadow, but a drop rectangle around it.
With the notification screen, I don't remember, when I'm trying to speak from the upgrading here, but you'll know this is that with it, I just got a notification right now. I thought before, I think the clock was smaller or the clock display. Was it smaller before?
Not much.
I kind of felt that there was more space here.
Well, the notifications were smaller. And I do like how clear they are now and prevalent, but it's sacrificing the whole point of a lock screen wallpaper. If you have a notification, at least, I like the idea of maybe having the notification itself, having a blurred version of your wallpaper, like a window that's blurred over top, but not nuking the entire backdrop. You can't even tell what my wallpaper is on my lock screen when I have a notification. It's so blurred.
Well, we're just kind of going around just general comments about user interface elements that are, there's pros and cons to lots of them.
Yeah.
There's some things I kind of like and some things I'm kind of mixed on or I'm getting used to because we're coming from such a flatter design now. Like things when you eyeball it, like I'm looking at the home screen right now, my home screen, and looking at things like the date, they don't pop as much as they used to, like on here. Like it says, it's Tuesday the 13th, and it's in a very, that thin
Helvetica font,
yeah. Which I'm not even thinking about me. I mean, my eyes are okay, but I'm thinking about my parents or somebody who's older and they don't.
That's been a common criticism online is that the font structure is just way too thin. Mm-hmm. And depending on what kind of background you have, it can get lost pretty easily. The other thing I noticed too on the home screens, depending on what kind of color wallpaper you have, that dictates really how prominent or less emphasis is given to things like the icons. The icons are very bright, they're very flat, they're very colorful, and everything's very white in the new world versus the old Apple sort of brushed aluminum, steel, black type of look. And
I intentionally, I've got the space background on mine, but I intentionally picked this because I wanted the dark. I mean, I like the effect of having the dark background because it makes the content pop a little bit better.
Yeah, it's more contrasting.
Well, and then there's that new Alive, the animated background, which I know you said Android's had that for eons.
Yeah. Well, and right now for the iOS 7 beta, there's only one option for that.
Do you know if anybody's talked about what's the technology behind that? Is it just an animated GIF or what is like what is it?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually looked yet.
Like what kind of file is it? Is it some kind of a QuickTime or MOV?
But presumably people will be selling those, you know, like crazy.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Like on Android.
Yeah. And I know I have mine on a static. But did you still have it on?
No, I turned it off.
Okay. I mean, We just like we were talking before about, you know, we've had this for a few days. Both of us talking about batteries, always like we're using a beta. We know we're using a beta, but battery was a conversation that we were having lots on. Like, hey, where are you at? Hey, where are I at? I'm at. And we were dropping really fast the first day.
Yeah. And I think that's both because we both hadn't rebooted from the restore.
Yeah.
And apparently that solved a lot of people's problems. I was also having the further problem of every time I would get a notification, my Pebble Watch app would try to send it to my watch, and that would pretty much kill anything that's happening, and my phone would actually freeze up.
You were rebooting a lot.
Well, it wasn't rebooting. It was just freezing up, and then I couldn't do anything on the screen, and then I get dumped back to the lock screen. So it's kind of like a warm dump to the lock screen as opposed to a warm reboot. And sometimes it even would reboot. I get the Apple logo, too. When I finally did reboot the other day, when it asked me to repair the Pebble Watch, I declined, and I haven't got notifications on my watch, which is okay for the beta period, because there's also no way to turn off, like anything that's on your lock screen becomes a notification on the Pebble Watch, and that's not always desirable if you get a lot of email or whatever. And so my phone was constantly pinging my watch. I was like, I don't need to know I got an email from Groupon or whatever on my watch, right? And there's no way to turn that off unless you turn off notifications altogether at this point. So
again, you can't custom if you just wanted your whatever VIP box or whatever, you can't customize
that. I can do that. But because you basically have to adjust your notifications on a per account basis, right?
Yeah.
So and I like seeing, without having to unlock my phone, what emails I got. Mm-hmm. I don't need to necessarily get that all on my phone, but I can't, or on my watch, sorry, and I can't determine or dictate just on my phone versus just on my watch. And, or, you know, it's just, it's a minor nuisance that it's probably not going to affect most people, especially if you don't have a Pebble watch. But for now, it's a slight annoyance.
With just one of the things that was a little bit pleasantly surprising but interesting was, with this beta, some of my commonly used apps like Netflix or some of these video streaming apps that I use Air Video a lot, and those all worked out of the box after the install, which I kind of expected them not to.
Yeah.
Because in the past they have not with betas, but however the architecture, however it's configured now, they maybe they have a smoother path for downgrading these old apps or converting them. But
I mean, I've only encountered one issue that I think isn't related to the Pebble Watch, and that is I have a podcast app for Mark Maron's podcast that I listen to, and it has two ways of listening to a podcast. You can just stream it, mm-hmm. or you can favorite it, and then it downloads it in the background, and then it plays it back locally. If I tried to stream it, probably every time it tries to check for email, it would lock up and dump me back to the lock screen. I could go back and resume the podcast where I was. Mm-hmm. If I favored it and then essentially download it locally, I wouldn't have that problem. I would be able to listen to the whole podcast the whole way home. So I mean, that's a pretty minor thing.
Yeah.
And
I think another app that I tested myself, we have another friend who wants to upgrade, but he wanted me to test some apps. And the ones that work, I mean, Facebook and Twitter, they all work flawlessly.
Yeah.
The only difference with Facebook specifically, or these apps, what's funny is as if you go in and do a notification update or you want to do a status update, it gives you the old keyboard.
Yes.
Because it's still embedded somewhere in the style, like they must do a new hook to go to the new keyboard, which, I mean, ultimately, there's going to be a bit of a, I don't know if there's a complete reskinning for these app designers out there, but they're probably going to have to be tweaks.
Yeah.
You know?
The other thing I noticed that was kind of strange, if you, I mean, we're talking about it, but if you look at my mailbox, it says that I have over 10,000 mails in my inbox. So what I don't know is...
Got three.
Yeah. I mean, I've got
five email boxes.
I've got about, I think, five or six accounts that are loaded on my phone, and I definitely do not have 10,000 unread messages in my mailbox. So what I'm wondering if it's actually counting my archived unread messages from various, you know, online stores and things like that that just get archived and not deleted or not opened.
How far back do you go with your messages on your device? Because I know like mine's set to a month, meaning that I have about a month on here.
That's a good question. That could be why I'm seeing so much.
Because if you say you're saying all, meaning that it's downloading pretty much everything to your device,
it very well might be.
Yeah. Well, just talking about other icons and stuff, that just opinions, like I do like the differences in the style. However, I did like some of the icons. Like I found the photo icon doesn't clearly communicate that it's photos.
Yeah.
Because it looks like, I mean, I know that the photo icon does more. It's like building an Instagram and stuff like that into it. Like the different hues and things and effects you could do, which is cool. But that doesn't necessarily speak to me. But again, that's a change that, you know, I know it's the full good photo icon now, so it's kind of done. But
yeah.
Trying to think of the other things that weather's kind of cool. One thing there's another app, I can't remember what it's called, that does this kind of effect where it's got like the visual display and it kind of moves a little bit or whatever.
The Yahoo weather app is commonly referred to as what Apple copied.
Oh, okay.
The thing that I'm actually kind of annoyed with is when you do a pull down from the top, I used to like getting the local custom current local weather, that would pull in. And now when you pull down from the top bezel, you get your calendar, and if you click on all, then you can eventually you can't even scroll through there too, so you get all your notifications if you click on all. And where's the weather? You know, it's not there. I mean, it tells you what the weather is for an upcoming event that you might have in your calendar, but it doesn't tell you what's the weather where I am right now like it did before.
Do you in your location settings, can you check to see if you have it on? Because they've introduced new settings.
That's true.
Where it didn't exist before. Because I did have it in here, and I don't actually, in the swipe down, I don't necessarily want to have it there. So I turned off location settings, and it's no longer there. But it wasn't like presented in an icon and stuff like it was before. It was just the words.
Right.
It was just describing, oh, today is going to be cloudy with sunny breaks, da 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 da.
Yeah.
So that's where I, and then I noticed that when I went into weather, it's displaying the places that I favorited, but it's not telling me where I am right now because I turned location services off.
Right.
So before there was a notification setting where to say in notification swipe down, I want weather to be there.
Right.
There doesn't seem to be that, like they've, that choice to flip it on and off.
Yeah.
Because they've introduced new panels and you know, it's a beta, and this is where some of these things are just getting baked still, or tweaked, I should say. Overall, like when you go into things like settings, there's just such, it's just everything looks different. It's all this light font, and the switchers are all these kind of three-dimensional white buttons, which sometimes they're a little bit difficult to see. And this is where I think they need to apply like a little bit of a stronger font or some kind of a gradient or something to make them pop a little bit more.
Yeah, for sure.
They have notification centers. That's a whole new area, and that's where you can control some of those aspects. It's getting there. Oh, and one of the other kind of things I do like is in your data. I use, you know, I have a 6 gig data plan, and you know, I almost use it all every month because I stream and I don't really think about it. But what's nice to know now is that you can go in and actually see what apps are consuming the data, which is a huge thing because it's one thing to go, okay, where's my data going? But then all of a sudden you break it down and go, oh crap, I left on auto updates, or I left something on and it's eating up my data plan, which.
Yeah. And that, I mean, that's something that Android's had forever and that I always really enjoyed about Android is you can really tell what's taking up space on your system and what's chewing up your data.
It's in cellular. You go into cellular and use cellular data for, and this is where you can turn it on and off.
Yeah.
So, you know, ultimately it's giving you a macro control and it's fairly buried. So it's not the average Joe is going to go in there.
Yep.
But I guess it's also, what are the defaults? Like, you know, we have all these new features, but what are the defaults?
Yeah.
For everybody out of the box installing it. You know, there is also a notion too, is, you know, we set these up from a restore. So I'd be curious to know, obviously Apple's usually pretty good about walking you through, hey, you installed this, we have these new features that you should configure, go in and do that versus it's inheriting all these old configurations that you had before.
Well, that's the only thing I think that we both are kind of missing out on in this experience is, I mean, we do use these as our primary phone. So, you know, despite Apple's warnings to not use this for a production phone, we are. But a lot of times that's how you get to know the quirks about something is actually using it. And, you know, it's easy. The nice thing is they've actually made it fairly straightforward to restore back to iOS 6 if you decide to you're done with the beta.
Well, that's I think that's a little bit more of an unofficial approach, but it's it apparently it works pretty well. And you know what? Since the battery life is working in most of my core apps, I'm okay. Like I'm still I've got no reason to downgrade. And it is definitely you know, it's a little kind of exciting for us geeks to play with the latest and greatest right after it's presented. And usually this happens every year as we get the new software and then the new phones come out. By the time the new phone comes out, got the new phone and the new software on it. And, you know, you're rocking it with that.
But. Yeah. And you, I always, I'm left wondering, well, what's hidden under here that we're not seeing yet because we don't have the new hardware?
Yeah. Maybe that's where that left swipe we were talking about goes. So with, and I'm just talking about a couple of other new features, and I don't know if you've even tried this yet, John, is, in the music, I do a lot of streaming of like songs on different kind of streaming services and stuff like that. And I like the, you know, those kind of things. And I have a US iTunes account. So I basically, to play around with iTunes Radio, you just log in with your US account. And then you can just stream and you can stream anywhere. So it's not even doing a geolocation, which is nice.
Yeah.
But so far, so good. It's just like another choice. And I have heard a few ads already. You know, if you skip, I think you can skip up to 6 times and then it gives you an ad or, you know, trending now on iTunes, iTunes Radio, you know. But it seems to like here you can, one thing that's kind of cool is that if you have, say, a favorite song, like I was listening to Instant Crush from Daft Punk or whatever, and you can then create, if you go into any of them, you can create a song, create a playlist from the song. So it's going to go through and as I guess this gets crowdsourced and people who are use it, it'll get more robust.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's built into there. It makes sense. It's a very Apple kind of subtle secondary type of experience.
Have you played with the cameras, the new camera stuff at all?
A little bit. Not a ton though. It's again, it's the UI has changed.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have these things in there. And I kind of feel bad for some of these guys who develop all these, you know, specific apps and all of a sudden, you know, boom, you're redundant. You don't need to.
They get Sherlocked.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get Sherlocked, which I think is happening kind of, it always happens, right?
It always happens. Yeah. But I mean, that's the evolution of this type of stuff is those apps come out to fill a gap. Apple fills the gap. Those guys come out with something else, hopefully, or they get bought by Apple or they get ignored. I do like, being able to swipe left and right to switch between camera modes and, you know, video, photo, the square shape, which I guess is okay. I mean,
that's Instagram.
Well, it's totally Instagram. Yeah. And, but it's just like, really, it's that hard to crop your photo in Instagram. I mean, the framing is, if you're in Instagram, you're probably shooting it with your Instagram camera. So, but I do also like they brought forward sort of the FaceTime, visual effects that are real time. So you can add those filters in real time. And, I mean, I don't know if there's any that I particularly like in there. Maybe they'll add more, you know, as the beta progresses, but, it's nice to be able to sort of have some other options and do some different things. And they've made it very simple to get into the camera, to get around the camera and to get out of the camera.
Well, and what actually I do really like about the camera, like the labeling and stuff like that is it feels like a camera.
It does.
Like the actual font choices.
Yeah.
The whole, it feels like you're navigating a modern, you know, UI of a camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which obviously is the intention.
Yeah, for sure. But, I like that. The calendar, I'm still getting used to. It's such a different visual presentation for the calendar.
The calendar most feels like Windows 8 to me.
It does.
Like that, especially because of the color choices and that kind of thing.
Bold circles and line and thin lines and things like that. And the subtle font.
I wonder if they will. I mean, I doubt they will because they are signature apps is honestly give you like, do you want light or dark? You know, cause that actually would be a bit of a preference. Is that
absolutely
give the user a choice,
yeah.
Which is not very common that Apple does that other than like a font style or something?
Yeah, because I mean, before everything was dark and now it's all light. So it's like the switch has already been flipped for you. You can either go on iOS 6 and be dark or you can be light on iOS 7. But yeah, I mean, I definitely would prefer that. It's interesting too, things like Passbook, for example, they've changed some subtle little things, like where the old Passbook, when you deleted a card, it would get the little shredder effect, which apparently is Scott Forstall's thing. And now you just get a simple line and it disappears, right? So they've gotten rid of some of the neat little cuteness stuff that they had, and they've introduced new cuteness stuff in other places.
Well, too. Yeah, like when you first do the swipe on the home screen, you get the icons coming in, but they're not in any kind of order. It's a little bit of a random feel of a...
Yeah, it's like a keynote presentation or something.
Yeah. I feel like you've done that, which do you need that? Nah, but it kind of... It feels that makes it feel all smooth and just we're on the latest hardware, so yeah. I don't know what users of iPhone 4s are saying about it because it may not be as smooth.
Yeah, well, and that was the other thing too, is I was surprised at how far back the compatibility was, because I mean iOS or 6 or was it 5? One of them didn't go back very far.
Yeah,
you know, and or it did work, but it was just unusable. I forget, the thing was the iPhone 3 when, or the 3G was, you know, or 3S, I forget which one, but I remember one, everyone was upgrading to it and they were all complaining how slow it was because it was just the hardware just wasn't there.
Yeah.
Or was at least wasn't optimized
well,
for
and
it.
Well, and then you talk to some of those people who are, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have upgraded because they're finding it a poor user experience. And we're on the other spectrum where we usually have the latest or close to the latest devices. Yeah. So we're getting the primo experience. Yeah. Although Apple's usually pretty good about that. Like, they will scale back the features, like, you know, obviously 4 doesn't have Siri or any of that kind of stuff. And speaking of Siri, have you tried using the new Siri at all?
No.
No. I did, and it's about the same. And what I actually forgot was, like, well, what were the new things she did? My daughter was actually using it in the car. She was looking up a movie and for the other day, and she was talking to Siri, and it finally did come up with a choice, but I couldn't remember the new commands that she could do. But,
I definitely have to say that one of the things I most like that I've always sort of been envious of on the Android side, and I have an Android phone, so it's not like I'm missing out, but is the control center. I mean, that is can't be any more blatant a copy from an Android experience and how that functions. Having access to airplane mode, you know, your Wi-Fi, your Bluetooth, your brightness, the lock or the screen orientation lock, as well as your iTunes, AirDrop, and then those extra features we'd mentioned earlier. I mean, having that available anywhere, anytime is just really handy, now, even on the lock screen.
Well, would you, like, I know it's a swipe up, but I mean, you know, using this stuff, I don't know how many hundreds of times a day you go in and you do something to your phone, but like, I know that there was apps that people released last year, which were like simply a turn Bluetooth on or off button,
yes,
or turn Wi-Fi on or off.
Yes.
Would you, like, having Control Center, would you like to have also ability to have a shortcut on somewhere you want? So it's not a swipe up, it's just a click, or you're happy with the...
No, because there's never in a case where I'd want to be using something and I'm at the home screen. Right, I'm typically in the app. Oh, I need to turn on that thing or turn it off.
So it's the usage scenario.
Yeah, and then the control center is an overlay to whatever app you're using. So it makes more sense to have it at that layer as opposed to a separate app that you have to tweak. I mean, that's one thing I hated about the turning on and off Wi-Fi. You know, you walk into a Starbucks or something like that where you've connected once a while ago, and you're trying to do something, and then in the background, your phone's trying to connect to the Wi-Fi, but you haven't hit the agree button on it. And like, I just want to use it. I know I have, you know, full bars of LTE here. Let's just go. You have to go and then navigate to the settings screen on the old system. On this system, it's a swipe up and you're done. You know, so I really do like that instant access.
One thing that I think we did try using the other day was this FaceTime audio, and I gave you a call over LTE.
Yeah.
And one of the things, when I first tried doing it, I think I was in the contact and I clicked on the icon and then it was trying to do a video conversation.
Yeah.
I think the display of that needs to get tweaked because it's not apparent. But I think the way it works, because then I tried calling you after through the phone and then it just went to audio.
Yeah.
So this is where...
Well, the icons for the two different things are pretty close.
Yeah.
You know, we both have the fat finger problem. You know, it's a very small target on your phone, mm-hmm, and they're really close together. So... that's one thing that that kind of annoyed me quite a lot about the old keyboard is I'd go to press P and I'd get an O, you know, and that type of thing.
And the round display in the icons is a little bit, or the favorites. It's that actually, when I first saw that, I thought about the chat Google button. What are those little chat bubbles or whatever?
The Google Hangouts.
The Hangout. Yeah. That looks like that to me.
Yeah. I mean, and that's why we're talking about this being the bastard child of all these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, Apple's been pretty stagnant for a while, or maybe not stagnant, but they've been consistent for a while. And now they've gone all round and soft flat colors. I mean, you would be hard pressed to show this to somebody who didn't know anything about either this or a Google phone. And they may not be able to tell the difference. And even Windows 8 to a degree with some of the stuff, and especially the animations of the icons and the home screen and stuff like that feels very Windowsy to me. Mm-hmm. Having used a number of Windows phones.
I was reading on the internet because they were talking about, you know, the kind of evolution of how they've got to this look and feel, and that it sounded like the marketing departments had something to do, they basically had to do with this.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. I mean, not good and bad, but you know, this is where we have some areas that make sense, look logical, and then other times you question them.
Well,
saying that I didn't hate the way it was before,
The thought that I've read, a lot of people that do this stuff for a living, there's a lot of feeling of that this is very much to capture the attention of today, but it's going to feel pretty dated pretty quickly, you know, going forward. But, you know, I'm just glad that it's different, you know. I think people would be very disappointed if Apple hadn't made a drastic change. What I'm not really seeing here, but that I'm used to seeing, is a dramatic leap ahead. This is more Apple catching up, whereas previously everybody else was playing leapfrog with Apple and they were always chasing Apple. Now Apple's sort of like sitting back and catching up to these guys on the other platforms, which had to look different and had to stand apart. And now Apple's sort of like, okay, we're all in the same place now. Where's the innovation? Where's the cool new features? I mean, maybe this is going to come with, you know, the new phone or hardware or who knows. But, you know, to me, in a lot of respects, this is just a visual refresh of
even though there is more under the hood that
there's
know
more under the hood, but it's subtle enough that it's hard to consider it to be a major innovation.
With I think one of the features that, I mean, I've never owned an Android device, but I've played around with them quite a bit to know, experience them on that lock screen. I know some of the appeal, or even a Windows phone device, Windows Phone 8 or whatever, 7 devices have that kind of this tile interface where you can, on their lock screen, like you can customize what's here. And yes, we have the spots reserved for notifications.
Yeah.
But again, that user has the control over those aspects. I think I'd like that. You know?
Well, I mean, on this device, it's more, and it has always been, more a stream of your notifications,
yeah,
as opposed to these other devices that have dedicated cards or slots. So you know in the top left corner, it will be your Facebook information, right? And it's always consistently in the same spot, as opposed to being this river that you're sort of scrolling through.
It's kind of like Twitter or any of those places.
It's very similar.
I mean, it's your info.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then also, I mean, who's to say, you know, I know this is an Android thing too, is that near the top of the screen in that little spot, usually, you know, there's icons to display what kind of notifications you're getting too.
Yeah.
So that there isn't, yes, when you unlock, you're going to see some, but you're only going to see, it's not like the grouping or anything like that.
Yeah.
If you're going to see your, oh, John, you got 5 text messages and you got 7 tweets or DMs.
Well, and that's what I like about Android is you know that you've got X amount of emails or X amount of mentions on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. Whereas this just gives you the, you know, all of them in single file. And again, I mean,
I'm not saying to copy either.
No.
But it is more like, well, how are you dealing with that? Which I don't know if you are yet. I think you're getting there.
Well, and then this is the first beta too. So, yeah. I mean, previously we've seen, I guess, was it been maybe 3 updates, maybe 4 before it goes gold and it gets ready for prime time. And some of those other secondary updates can be pretty dramatic changes to things based on feedback and just interactions with the developers and the various apps.
Well, I mean, like I'm looking at my notification screen right now and we've got today all in mist. But like, for instance, when I'm looking at this, I'd prefer, like, if you're in here, it's got mail and then maybe they're collapsed, especially where I've got tons. I've got apps selling me stuff. I've got mail.
Is there a way to make that all the default? Because by default, it shows you today.
Oh, you're right. actually. I think there is a configuration to
be I haven't found it yet.
Well, it's remembered. I remember that statement, but
yeah.
But I know you can configure some of the elements that's what's on these screens, which they need more controllable features. Like today, I don't really have a ton of appointments or whatever it is, and I know I think I can turn that whole calendar thing off.
But even then, like my calendar by default,
yeah,
on my old phone or old install, I had all my calendars. I have about 6 or 7 different calendars. Some are subscribed online calendars, some are, you know, iCloud, and some are work related. Mm-hmm. And puts it all in one place, and I can see by default it doesn't sort and show you all. I had to go in and turn that on, which I thought was weird, because I'm like, where's this appointment I'm supposed to be at? You know, I got the notification, but it was not in my calendar. And it's because the display of that drop down or that pull down didn't have all calendars checked.
I wonder if that is just one of those kind of migration issues.
The baggage issue.
Yeah, the baggage issue, which where you didn't start from zero kind of thing. And it's educating you, walking you through that, which I know Apple's pretty good about addressing in that.
Yeah.
And one of the things I was just going to comment on too is we touched on FaceTime audio.
Yes.
That's what's going to be interesting about that aspect is just what's the impact of that going to be on, like, okay, because ultimately, you know, if you're in the part of the iPhone club, meaning that everybody at iOS club and none of your circle has anything but they're all users of iOS, you know, is this touching on cellular? You know,
free long distance is a, for some people, it's a compelling reason to pick a phone, right?
I know from talking with family who, you know, snowbirds, they travel a lot, that kind of stuff. You know, FaceTime's a big thing for them. So now, and I know one of the criticisms I've heard from, you know, some recent relatives who've bought FaceTime, bought an iPad recently is, well, I don't want you to see me. So this is where, you know, it's just a profile picture and they call you and that you see this, you know, and they can maybe, you could show them you, but they want to have that nice, you know, frame picture of them showing. But again, it's just interesting to see that we're now at a point now that this is that audio potentially has the potential of, you know, you don't even need cellular on your device anymore, which I don't think we're quite there, but it's just,
no, I mean, because you've had that functionality with Skype and other apps for a while,
but how it's built in, it looks like it's really built into the phone app that way too. That where hypothetically you could have your, you know, my FaceTime audio favorite for you. It's
not unlike, you know, Google Voice.
You're right. It's kind of catch up, but I mean, I know FaceTime's huge though for a lot of people.
All right. Well, I think we'll check in again, maybe after the next beta drop or maybe closer to the Gold Master. Thanks again, Kev, for
You're welcome, chatting. Man. Thank you. Take care.